The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
When you focus on the past, that's your ego. And when I focus on the future, it's my pride in the moment, the present. And that's humility.
If all that matters is the moment, how does that work with a tape show where now is now, but you're seeing it later, and we're talking about a game that's tonight, and tonight is not now? Let's go.
What?
Well, I'm just asking for friends, that's all.
Only you could turn Giannis into a Rubik's Cube, Tony.
Yeah, you shouldn't be focusing on the past and all the wins. That's all ego.
Game 6 preview extravaganza. Milwaukee, could tonight be the night? Could then be now and now be everything? That's what we're asking. And Phoenix, could this be the moment where everything comes back around in this series? And for Giannis, Holiday, Middleton, Paul, Booker, Ayton, or maybe somebody else, tonight might be their night. Jackie McMullen, around the horn to you. What's the one thing the Suns must do tonight to even the series? And what's the one thing the Bucks can do tonight to end it?
Well, I would say the one thing, because it leads to so many other things, that the Suns need to do, Tony, is to take care of the basketball. When they take care of the basketball, they're able to zip that ball around and find the open shooter. When they take care of the basketball and zip around and get the open shooter, they score, thereby preventing the Bucks from getting out in transition and destroying them by doing so. If you take care of the basketball, you don't have to foul the Bucks and put them to the line where they are killing you also from the free throw line. So I will just stop there. There are plenty of other things, but it's such a basic thing. Mm-hmm. Take care of the basketball because possessions are so precious this time of year.
Justin Tinsley, the one thing the Suns need to do, or, I mean, on the opposite side, the Bucks are 48 minutes away from a championship. What do they need to do?
I mean, well, I guess it applies to both sides. Like, Phoenix is getting destroyed on fast breaks. Milwaukee's is averaging nearly double the amount of points. And in games 4 and 5, the fast break margin was in favor of Milwaukee, and it was bigger than the final score margin. So that means Phoenix scoring a lot in the half court, but they need to get out and run because you can't let a great defensive team like the Bucks, led by Holiday and Giannis, get set. They just can't do that. And another place where Phoenix is getting destroyed, and if they want to have any hope to win tonight, they're getting mauled on the offensive glass, 68-36 in the series. They gotta address that.
Oh, when you say it like that, it sounds so simple, though. That's all that needs to happen tonight. But we've got Sarah and George here. Maybe they see it differently. Go ahead, Sarah Spink.
Yeah, I'll start with the Bucks. I kind of made a crack at Mike Budenholzer's expense for running out of basketball cliches and giving us football. Instead, he started talking about how they had to keep just blocking and tackling. But the point was a valid one. They are doing those things like Justin Tinsley mentioned. They've doubled them up on the offensive boards. They've doubled them up in transition. They have taken 56 more shots than the Suns in this series when you account for field goals and free throws because they're doing all of those things right. So the Bucks just need to keep doing that, right? Protecting the ball, offensive rebound, defending the way they have, they're going to be fine. For the Suns, it's much more complicated. To Jackie's point, it's a number of factors that they have to improve, but it all comes down to one thing, and that is they need to run the offense through Chris Paul. If Devin Booker gets his, the Bucks are fine with that. Early in the series, it was about Chris Paul and that motion offense, the drive-in kicks, the pick and rolls, the ways they could manipulate even a great defense that the Bucks were showing them. And instead now, when they let Devin Booker kill him and they shut down Paul by having Holiday pick him up at the half court, the offense dies. I don't know how to do that against this Bucks team, but that's what they have to do.
You walked us all the way there, but I don't know how to do it, nor should you know how to do it.
Good luck.
Maybe George can get into Monty Williams' head a little bit here and how they might do that. Phoenix and then Milwaukee on the other side. Go ahead, Georgie.
Well, Tony, I do think that everybody's nailed it here. Ball movement to me was kind of my thing. Specifically, if you look at Devin Booker, right? We've been enamored with these 40-point games that he's had. But there's not a lot of ball movement. The way they got here, Tony, was everybody getting their opportunity, spreading the floor, drive and kick, as Sarah mentioned. Here's the stat on Devin Booker that's damning despite the 40-point games. 24 field goal attempts in the fourth quarter, 0 assists. We haven't had anyone do that in the finals since 1997. Here's the other stat for Devin Booker you need to know. He had, when the Suns have when Booker has five or less assist opportunities, which is passing the ball to somebody with the opportunity to score a basket and shoot the ball, the Suns are 1-4 in those situations, which means Booker's not looking to pass to set up guys. He's looking to get his own shot. So in the last three games, in the three losses, he's had four assist opportunities, and only three assist opportunities in the last game. He needs to get his guys involved. It's not just Chris Paul.
But let me ask it to you this way, George. It worked in the first two games. Maybe that's how these Phoenix Suns are built. Is that the possibility here?
No. To the contrary, if you look at their ball movement, you look at their three-point attempts, and that to me is a big stat as far as if everybody's sharing the ball, right. Because guys like Crowder and Mikal Bridges are getting involved. If you get the high three-point percentage and you get the ball movement, the Chris Paul games that Sarah alluded to earlier, that's the recipe for success. It's not Booker going 40 and going ISO.
Okay.
You're playing
well
right
said.
Into the Bucks' hands in that situation.
And Sarah, you want to add to that?
Yeah, just a quick note to what Sedano's talking about, those assist opportunities. They had 53 in game one, and it's gone down successively in every game to 29 in that last game five. They were the best in the league at those assist opportunities. It's gone down. That's why it was working in games one and two, and it's gotten progressively
and Jackie.
Worse.
Yeah, but here's why it wasn't working anymore, because the Bucks, everyone's talking about their offense, and I understand it's historic. It's their defense, guys. They've kept switching, and they're staying home. Those opportunities have evaporated. Remember the corner threes that we were all harping about?
Right.
They've had eight over the last three games. Give Jrue Holiday, Giannis, all those guys credit. They're winning with defense, even though they're scoring a
ton. Is that all on Holiday versus Paul to you, Jackie? You know, is it really, does it really get down to that? When the story, and however this series tonight or next game ends, will that be the story of this series for you?
I think so. We talked about Holiday being the X factor all the way back when they gave up all that stuff to get him. But not only has he done it to Paul, Tony, when he's done it to Devin Booker has also been significant.
That's where George Adano.
In games 2, 3, 4, and 5, Chris Paul had 15 turnovers in those games. He only had 22 in his previous 14 playoff games this series. Seven of those 15 turnovers that I mentioned were Jrue Holiday guarding him.
We talked a lot about how this season was a season of attrition, and a lot of that meant injuries, and maybe, I know we talked about an MRI that Paul had in between the two series, but that also means just plain fatigue. This has been the strangest, longest season in NBA history in some ways. All right, I need a pick right now. I know we were horned like 2 minutes ago. Jackie Mack, who you got tonight?
I'm taking the Bucks in six. This is Giannis's time. It's his ascension to one of the great players, like the top, maybe top player in the league.
Justin Tinsley.
Right, it's going to happen.
Myron Fader, who's writing a Giannis biography, and Martenzi Johnson of the Undefeated are going to kill me, but I'm going... We're going seven.
We've got Phoenix tonight. Sarah Spain.
Wow. Yeah. Shout out Miren Fader. She's awesome. And Bucks in six.
Sedano.
Scott Foster is the lead official tonight.
Oh, please. I knew somebody was going to go there.
Have lost 11 straight. But you know what? I think tonight it goes the other way finally. The Suns win, extend to game seven, even with Scott Foster.
We have been horned about 2 hours ago. We'll move on. The latest from Tokyo, chief of Tokyo 2020 committee, has not ruled out a last-minute cancellation of the Olympic Games. This is less than a week to go. 67 cases of COVID by those associated with the Games this month. It struck the U.S. gymnastics team. It struck Team USA basketball on the men's roster side and on the women's 3-on-3 roster side. Sarah, they did not cancel it months ago when polls seemed to suggest citizens of Tokyo did not want it. They did not cancel it weeks ago with new waves and variants globally. The athletes are now there. What can they do?
Yeah, those shots of the empty stadiums are wild. I'm trying to picture swimming without any fans. This is the IOC's call, not the Tokyo Olympic Committee. So the IOC needs to decide that they are willing to give up the remaining money that they are able to recoup from this massive loss of funds. And they aren't going to do it. So while they're there, what they need to remember is that this new Delta variant spreads much more quickly and is not limited to indoors, is not limited to 15 minutes. So they need to go back to the kind of protocols that we had before there were a lot of vaccinated people. And I don't know how feasible that is at a large scale right now, but there needs to be a much more clear set of protocols that remind us of where we were last year instead of the more ease that we've been experiencing lately, because even those vaccinated people, we've seen these breakthrough cases, and whether or not they feel ill, they still have to be quarantined as a result. So I think the protocols just have to go way back up.
Justin Tinsley.
You know, Tony, to take one of your phrases, man, it feels like the toothpaste is already out of the tube, and they say there's a chance they could cancel it, but I really don't expect them to. There's way too much money on the line, and as we've seen before, money is more important than safety. So my concern is really with these athletes. The Olympics, of course, is not an annual event, and they're not going to do it in 2022, and they're not going to do it in 2023. So some of these athletes may lose their chance to compete in the Olympics altogether, just depending on age and different factors like that. And look, we know so much more about COVID than we did a year ago as compared to now, but there's still so much more we don't know. We don't know these long-term effects, and we don't know how they're going to impact these athletes moving forward. So if they're going to have the athletes, my hope and my prayers and all my concerns are with these athletes getting home safely and healthy.
Jackie McMullen.
Yeah, it's just a shame that it's come to this. I think we all will agree that this should have been canceled months ago. There's nothing that can be done about that now, but it sure feels like that should have happened. Now you've got athletes there. You've got people in harm's way. You have sponsors, Tony, pulling out right and left. Mm-hmm. Panasonic has pulled out. Toyota Motor is pulling out. So you just... I do still believe in the spirit of competition. No one's going to be there to watch. I don't know how they get everybody there safely. I just hope that the spirit of competition will ride the athletes through this. A gold medal is a gold medal. Whether, you know, it's like if a tree falls in a forest and no one heard it. If you get a gold medal, even if nobody was there to cheer you on, it's still your gold medal. So I'm hoping things like that will get these guys through.
And George Donnell.
Tony, to add to what everyone's already said, a group of public health specialists documented in the New England Journal of Medicine last month that not only the IOC's, tactics and protocols insufficient, but outdated, right? So that puts the athletes in danger. And let's talk about the country of Japan, right? Where only 22% of the residents there even want this to happen. There's going to be 80,000 volunteers, by the way, not guaranteed to be vaccinated in that situation, and 10,000 medical workers during a pandemic. I just think that none of this makes sense.
Doesn't seem like the athletes and the entire staff that you just mentioned are being put first here, but we've seen that before from these games. The last month for these games, body policing, cases like Semenya Castor and others, and body policing, the case of the swim caps for black athletes, and something like this. We know why we have a games. It's for a lot of reasons, but it's for the people who are competing. I'm taking a break right here. Buy ourselves next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Baseball last night. At one point, the Nationals led the Marlins 18-0. The Tigers-Rangers game was 14-0. Red Sox Blue Jays was 12-0.
Mercy rule.
The Mets hit 7 home runs and won 15-11 over Cincy in extra innings. Those numbers are big. And the sticky stuff crackdown now is going on a month. George, I'll ask it to you this way. Coincidence?
I think not, Tony. If you look at those numbers, again, seven different instances just last night, okay, where teams went back-to-back home runs. The Mets actually did it twice yesterday. You mentioned the Mets, Boston, and Washington each hit at least six home runs. And here's the deal. OPS is up almost 30 points from that June 3rd date when they started cracking down on the sticky stuff. This is obvious to me.
Zara Spain, coincidence or not?
Well, just last night, as Sedano said, might be a coincidence or it might be sort of a delayed hangover from wherever people flew to for the All-Star break. So last night's numbers alone are not enough to sway me. But the other numbers are, and what we've seen since they cracked down on sticky stuff is spin rate going down, offensive stats going up. This is great for baseball. It's belated because MLB caused their own problems for themselves. But by cracking down, they're starting to fix that issue that we had with offense.
So this is good. 18-0, 14-0 is good.
I mean, as I said last night, is an anomaly.
Justin Tinsley.
Absolutely not a coincidence. And this is great for baseball because you're getting more offense into the games. And that's what draws people to games, although we appreciate good pitching. But since June 3rd, when the crackdown happened, the batting average across the league has risen 12 points from 236 to 248. And the runs have gone up from 8.7 to 9.3. This is good for baseball. People love offense.
Jackie Mack.
Not only do people love offense, kids love offense. And I've said this for a while, Tony. If you want to save baseball, you got to get little kids back in the ballpark. And what do? They stand in the outfield and try to catch home runs. So this is going to make those little kids and their parents very happy, unless those games all go to 11 innings and then nobody gets a chance to stay up till 2 in the morning. Nobody wants
okay.
to do that.
But to answer the question, you don't believe this is a coincidence that the offense is up after the sticky stuff was removed from the game, Jack?
How can we?
Okay.
Yeah, how can we?
People love offense. Everybody, except for Sarah Spain, everybody's doing some offense today. We'll move on. Buy or sell to NFL news of the day. Not good for the Los Angeles Rams. Cam Akers torn Achilles while training, out for the entire 2021 season. He was their leading rusher last year, so now Darrell Henderson Jr. moves up on the depth chart. Everyone behind him has zero career carries. Sarah, how does this Akers injury hit the Rams right now?
It's a big deal, obviously. Football Outsiders had him projected for over 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns this season, but those projections are also based on the system that you're in and the talent around you. We've seen a ton of veteran running backs show up in places and have great seasons, so I think you can insert any number of veteran guys into this offense and get an approximation, not as much as you would have, but it's the best possible position probably for that kind of injury.
Justin Tinsley.
I mean, first and foremost, I'm really sad for Akers because an Achilles injury is so scary. You never know how you're going to respond to that. And I think it's a big blow whenever you lose your top rusher. And the NFC West, excuse me, I think it's going to be the best division in football. It's a division full of stars on both sides of the ball, and you don't want to lose one of yours before training camp.
Jackie Mack.
Yeah, I was sick to my stomach when I saw this. Akers had such a great, you know, year last year, and you figure he's going to build on it. Now, so what do? Do you go out and get Todd Gurley back, try to convince him to come back? I doubt that'll happen with the animosity that went back and forth. So are you talking Adrian Peterson, Alfred Morris, a veteran that's been around forever? Or do you go to like someone like Benny Snell Jr. from Pittsburgh, who's already been linked to them, a guy that was behind James Conner last year? You give him some touches.
And in Los Angeles, George Sedano.
Tony, this is awful news for Cam Akers, obviously. This kid is a great kid. And people forget, this was the number one high school recruit at the running back position when he went to Florida State. He just happened to go to Florida State at a rare downtime for Florida State, hence why he wasn't higher in the, or didn't go higher in the draft. But they've got Darrell Henderson Jr., they got Xavier Jones, an undrafted guy. They got Otis Anderson Jr., not related, though, to my main man, Otis, the MVP. And they've got Jake Funk, who they drafted in the seventh round. Could they kick the tires on a LeSean McCoy or maybe even a Todd Gurley? Perhaps. The running game is important for this, for sure.
You know, this is not scientific at all. I feel like I have said the word Achilles more in the last 12 months with sports injuries than I did in the previous 17 years of the show. And it seems bizarre and fluky, but also it just seems like it's a more prevalent injury now than it ever has been. We'll move on. Buy or sell three, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey saying the league may invoke forfeits this upcoming season if teams have a COVID breakout. So no more postponements and trying to move it around. Justin, how does that strike you?
I mean, there's so many questions about this, but one of the big questions centers around the college football playoff. How do you decide between a good forfeit and a bad forfeit? We just went through this last season with Ohio State and the number of games. It seems like that.
Yeah, I don't see how this can be happen either, because the states in the SEC are some of the worst vaccinated states in the nation. Even if you are vaccinated, Tony, as we've learned, you can still catch COVID. So you can do everything right, have 85% vaccination rate, and still have your team have to forfeit a game because people end up with COVID even though they're asymptomatic. So you can talk this talk tough. I just don't see how it plays out in real time.
George, do you see it as tough talk, or do you see it as trying to hold programs accountable?
Look, Tony, I just think it's easier said than done, right? If all of a sudden Alabama, right, is one of the teams that has the issue, or LSU or Florida or Georgia, one of the teams they expect to compete for the national championship, how's that going to go over in the SEC? Probably not well.
Darius Bean.
We know what we're supposed to be doing right now as a country and as a people, and it's getting vaccinated. And if this makes that happen more, that's the positive. We've appealed to people's health and morality. Now we appeal to take it away their football. Whether it can be enforced is another matter, and whether they will try to enforce it. But I hope at least putting this out there will make some of the people who prioritize football choose the right thing.
That'll be the last word, Sarah Spain. Thank you very much. Jackie Mack as well. George Sedano, Justin Tinsley. Showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
The trend going around baseball, and the Mets specifically, with just batting a ball away when you're booting it. Tyvon Walker did it the other night. Luis Guillorme yesterday had 3 errors. What's the worst part of his night, George?
The fact that he had to overcompensate for Tyvon Walker and his mishap over the weekend that allowed 3 runs. But that second one, 2 errors on 1 play? Come on.
Justin?
I got to say, 3 errors on 2 plays is disgustingly impressive. But what was he doing trying to slap the ball away twice? It didn't work the first time. It's definitely not going to work the second.
That's where I am with this. I remember Paul O'Neill once booted a ball and then booted it with his foot, and it worked. It hasn't worked since then. Points, Tinsley. Showdown 2, Tom Brady at the White House today.
Well, not a lot of people, think that we could have won. And in fact, I think about 40% of the people still don't think we won. Do you understand that, Mr. President? I lost track of 1 down in 21 years of playing, and they started calling me Sleepy Tom.
Greatest stand-up, Justin.
I gotta give him an A for comedic timing. And shout out to the greatest quarterback of all time taking the biggest political stance of his career, subtweeting a president that's not on Twitter anymore.
Donna.
All right, listen, Tony, he gets an A for effort, a D for delivery, as in dull. If you gotta ask someone if they get it, then you didn't do a good job delivering it.
I think you need to ask me if I get it because you didn't do a good enough job delivering it. Justin Tinsley, 30 seconds of fame.
Yes. I like to bring light to Becca Meyer. She is a deafblind Paralympian who will not be participating in the upcoming Tokyo Paralympics because she was denied her personal care assistant. Her personal care assistant happens to be her mother. I just want to bring that to light because we've seen Olympic injustices with Sha'Carri Richardson, Brianna McNeil. These injustices have to stop, and I'm really sorry for Becca Meyer that this is happening.
The USOPC's decision, they say it's because of COVID restriction. Tokyo Olympics says it's the USOPC's decision. The point here is putting the athletes first again. This is the Paralympics. We should be embracing everyone's disabilities. That's what she said.